the crew. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, please, and open them to Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. Acts 20, 31. I'll explain what we're doing there when you get there. But as you open, I want you to think with me about something. I know you are multitaskers. You can do it. I want you to think about, is it possible that someone sitting near you right now is hurting? Is it possible that someone sitting right near you right now is facing a major decision? Is it possible that someone near you right now is anxious, nervous, sad, depressed? Is that possible? Is it possible that on any given Sunday morning in a group like this, that you have a lot of people around you who have needs? They're hurting, maybe somebody's struggling, worried, anxious, fearful. Yeah, all of those needs exist on any given Sunday. This week and next week, at least, we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about something called biblical counseling. And I'm going to guess that a lot of us have a wrong view of what that is. My hope is that by the time we're done, we're all going to have a biblical view of what biblical counseling is. And I'm going to focus on answering one question. Now, we're going to answer a lot of others along the way, but I like simplicity. We're going to focus on answering one main question with regard to biblical counseling, and here's the question. What kind of a ministry is that? What kind of a ministry is biblical counseling? They're all going to add up to this one main thing, this one main truth, that biblical counseling is a much-needed ministry. It is a much-needed ministry. It is not something that only pastors can do or should do. It is certainly not something that only I can do. There is no way that I could personally handle all the biblical counseling needs in this church. Even with Pastor Rick and Brenda and Pastor Dan and Randy and Pastor Drew and Lupe, all of us could not handle all of the needs there are for biblical counseling in this church. But what kind of a ministry is it from Scripture? Well, let's find out. If you're in Acts 20:31, we're going to walk through texts of Scripture that talk about this, and I'm going to explain why I say they talk about this. And I'm not sure how far we're going to get this morning. I'm going to keep an eye on that clock, and we are going to try to keep to a schedule here. But I'm going to read Acts 20, 31, and you'll find out why we're here. All right, Acts 20, verse 31. Paul says, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Now the context here is the Apostle Paul's last meeting with the Ephesian elders, with the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he's basically saying goodbye to them. He's telling them about his own ministry. And he says, "Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." And you say, "Well, what are we doing here? Because I don't see biblical counseling anywhere. I just see Paul warning everyone night and day with tears." Well, hold your horses. Let me ask you something. If I were to ask you to find some verses in the Bible that spoke about evangelism, I'm not asking you to give me a verse, but if you think you could find a verse in the New Testament that said something specific about evangelism, how many of you think you could find a verse? Well, I got some not many. Let me ask again. How many of you think you could find a verse in the Bible that says something about evangelism? Oh, more people. All right, good. Now, I'm not going to ask you to tell me how you could find that, but you know, you may know, there's actually a Greek word from which we get evangelized. It's the Greek word euangelizo and euangelizomai and euangelion. There's several Greek words. And they're variously translated, preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel, evangelize, evangelist. And with a concordance, you could look up the way those words are used, and you could find a bunch of verses in the New Testament about evangelism. By the way, euangelizo and its related words are used 55 times. So over time, a Christian should be able to find some good verses on evangelism. Well, what about biblical counseling? Yeah, if you actually grabbed a concordance, you would not find the word biblical, and you would not find the word counseling. So should we just say, well, I guess it's not biblical? No, you also wouldn't find prayer meeting. You wouldn't find youth group. You wouldn't find the word Bible. Does that mean Bible's not biblical? No. There are Greek words that over time get translated a little bit differently into English, and you have to go find out what those words are. So how many of you have actually heard something about biblical counseling in your life? You've heard about biblical counseling. Look at that, lots of hands, okay. And you might wonder, well, where is that coming from? Because biblical counseling isn't in the Bible. Like, those exact words aren't there. Well, if you were to research, and you could do this, if you were to Google the history of biblical counseling, certainly if you research the modern history of biblical counseling or the history of modern biblical counseling, you would find one man's name coming up again and again. You would find that one man's book coming up again and again. And you would find a Greek word coming up again and again. Does anybody know the man's name? Jay Adams. Very good. We had a few people shout that name out, Jay Adams. Does anybody know the book? Competent to Counsel. We have a few. Way to go, Nate. We have one confident man saying competent to counsel. Okay. In the history of modern biblical counseling in the church, there is a man named Jay Adams who wrote a book back in the late 60s, early 70s. That book was called Competent to Counsel. And in that book, and in most books on biblical counseling since, he points to one particular Greek word. Does anybody know the Greek word? Nate, what is it? Nuthateo. Very good. Or nuthesia. There's a couple different words. So now look at Acts 20, 31 again. Ready? Paul says to the Ephesian elders concerning his ministry, he says, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to... Now here mine says warn. Some of your Bibles say admonish. Some of your Bibles might say train, instruct, counsel. This is a word from which we get biblical counseling. Well, I have good news. I think it's just good news. I'm not going to say good news and bad news. I have good news and good news. This word is only used 11 times in the New Testament. So this week and next and maybe the one after, we are going to look at the 11 uses in the New Testament of nuthateo and its related words. And we're just going to draw out from Scripture, what do we learn about biblical counseling? Or what do we learn from the word from which most every biblical counselor says we get biblical counseling? And I think that your picture of biblical counseling is going to change. If it's already accurate, great, then it's going to be solidified. But if it's inaccurate, then it's going to change and it's going to become more biblical. And the goal is that by the time we're done, you all not only have a biblical view of biblical counseling, but you understand it's something you need to do. It's something you need to be involved in. Now, from this verse, from Acts 20:31, I'm going to draw four conclusions about biblical counseling. And I'm going to answer the question, what kind of a ministry is this? What kind of a ministry is biblical counseling? So, conclusion number one, it is an influence ministry. It's an influence ministry. It's a ministry of influence. It's a ministry meant to influence somebody else. Where do I get that? I get that from the word itself. Paul says here, Acts 20:31, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to nuthateo everyone. All right, we got to get into the word here. What in the world does this word mean? How many of you have admonish in that word? Admonish, okay? How many of you have warn? W-A-R-N. Okay. Does anyone have something other than admonish or warn? Anybody? Okay. All right. We got admonish, warn. We're going to find that this word does not mean just to warn, nor does it just mean to admonish. So, how many of you understand what compound words are? All right. Not everybody. I'm not going to go into compound words. All right. In noutheteo, there's an N-O-U on the front end. That is the Greek word for the mind. Mind. N-O-U-S. The nous to us, N-O-O-S-E, is like a noose. The nous to the Greek, N-O-U-S, is the mind. Okay? The mind. And then the end of the word, noutheteo, is to place. And to do this is to place before the mind. In fact, right now, I am placing before your mind some information. In a sense, I am counseling you on biblical counseling. This word, noutheteo, means to play, to lay out, to instill. Let me give you some other renderings. You're going to like this one. A.T. Robertson, the great Greek scholar, well-renowned man, says, probably the best English translation of noutheteo is to put some sense into. I like that. How many of you have ever used that? We're going to have to, well, we might use the word knock. You're going to have to knock some sense into that person. Well, we're not knocking here. We're placing, this is the more Christian approach, right? We're placing some sense into, putting some sense into. Barnes says it's to lay out before the mind. Here's one. It is to aim to influence the mind by lovingly laying out truths and the dangers of disobeying them. I like that. That's like a little paraphrase. So now let's look at Acts 20:31 again. What was Paul doing? Speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, talking about his ministry and what he did for 3 years, day and night with tears. He says, therefore, watch now, and remember, don't forget this, for 3 years I did not cease to biblically counsel, to put some sense into, to keep on laying out truths and aim to influence your mind so that you might accept those truths and understand the dangers of disobeying them. And I didn't cease to do that with every single one of you and with tears. This is biblical counseling. All right? In one word, it is an influence ministry. It is a ministry that is meant to influence the way you think. All right? There's going to be some hands go up here. There better be hands go up here. How many of you have heard of the book, Shepherding a Child's Heart? Yeah, because I know some of you are going through that right now, or you just finished, I think, right? Finished. You just finished that. Well, guess what? It is not only children whose hearts need shepherded. It is adults as well. And that's what this is. It's aiming to influence someone's heart, because out of the heart proceed all the thoughts of life. Guard your heart. From out of it flow all the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. This is biblical counseling. What kind of a ministry is this? It is an influence ministry. It is a ministry in which you are laying out biblical truths in an effort to influence someone who's hurting, who's facing a big decision, who's maybe going a little bit off course, going astray, going off track. This is biblical counseling. You are laying out before their mind what the Bible says on a certain matter to influence their thinking so that they might follow Jesus Christ in this decision, in response to this hurt, this pain, this illness, this tragedy, this trial. It's an influence ministry. AIM, aim, right? Aim. You are aiming to influence the mind. AIM, you're aiming to influence the mind. That is the aim of biblical counseling. Second, it is an important ministry. An important ministry. And this one's so obvious. Look at 20:31 again. Therefore, watch and remember, like, don't forget this. That tells you this is important. For 3 years. Wow. Paul was doing this for 3 years. When? Night and day. Like, sometimes at night, and sometimes a day. It doesn't mean he never slept. It's just this occupied his time. Remember, for 3 years, night and day, I didn't cease. This is something he didn't give up on. All of these words say this was vitally important to the Apostle Paul. This ministry of counseling, of admonishing, of warning, of laying out before other people the truths of the Bible and warning them of the dangers of disobeying those truths, This is an important ministry. You're going to see it wasn't just important for him. It was important for these elders. That's why he's saying, don't forget this. I've given you an example. You've got to occupy yourself with getting involved in other people's lives. It is an important ministry. Certainly was to Paul, right? He's doing this by night. Now, why would you do this by night? Why would you do this by night? Because people have problems at night, right? I think we moved here in 2009. I think the following weekend, someone called and said, could you come over now? It was like 9 o'clock at night. Pastor, could you come over right now? Yes. Because you do this by night, right? I've got a problem in my marriage right now. Can you come over and help us? Yes. That's why Paul does this. This is an important ministry, and it's an influence ministry. How many of you have ever said, I'd like to have a positive influence? Oh, good, I have good news for you. Biblical counseling. That's what it is. It's a positive influence ministry and an important ministry. You know, I think some people's view of biblical counseling is you get on the phone, right? You call somebody's office, church secretary, if it's pastor, you call an office, right? And a secretary answers, yes, hello. We'd like to meet with Pastor Rick. Okay, well, he's scheduling out in November right now. And you go, well, okay, what about Pastor Dan? Well, he's scheduling in September. What about Pastor Drew? We're going down the line in order of, what about Pastor Drew? Well, he can meet with you next week. Okay, what about Pastor John? Well, he's right here. That's too bad. None of us are scheduling out in November, right? You call any one of us and we or our wives, we're dropping what we're doing because this is important. This is a vital ministry. And some people's picture is like you're making an appointment to go to some office and lay down on the couch. And like this is as attractive as getting your teeth pulled. Sorry, dentists. Ooh, a shot. Dentistry shot. Third, what kind of a ministry is biblical counseling? This is a sacrificial ministry. It's sacrificial, right? Paul says, remember, for 3 years I didn't cease night and day to warn, to admonish, to occupy myself with counseling everyone. Paul was sacrificing time to do this. He was sacrificing sleep to do this. He's sacrificing effort and energy. People can be sad or hurt or scared or confused or going off track at any time of the day and night. People can be in need of someone to lovingly and literally talk them down off the edge at any given time. I got a call one time, Pastor, I just talked with a woman who's considering suicide. Would you please go and meet with her? Yes. And so I took my wife along. We went and we met with her, and the result of that was very positive. Praise God. She understood that this was the wrong answer. There could be someone sitting around you right today, here this morning, who has contemplated suicide at some point in life. Maybe there's someone who has had such a rough week, such a rough year, such a rough life that they're contemplating it even now. This is an influence ministry to influence people in the direction of following Jesus Christ and not following the ways of this world. This is an important ministry, one that we occupy ourselves, but not just we who are pastors and deacons and teachers. Every Christian should be involved in this ministry. And third, it is a sacrificial ministry, but it is one whereby you lovingly sacrifice your time, effort, and energy to help someone else. Fourth, and this is a big one, it is an emotional ministry. It is an emotional ministry. Look at 20:31 again. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. With tears. Why the tears? Why the tears? Well, partly because you get personally involved, right? You are personally involving yourself in someone else's trials, in their life, in their tragedy, in their difficulty. And it's messy, right? Not only that, think about the kinds of things you're dealing with if you get involved in biblical counseling. And Paul was doing this with the elders, and these elders, you know, they might have said, you know, Paul, I didn't tell you when you first came and started, but my daughter ran away and we've never seen her since. Oh. I didn't tell you this, Paul, when you first came to town because I didn't want to tell you my whole life story, but I've been divorced twice. Oh. I didn't tell you this, Paul, when you first came to town, but my wife left me for another man. Oh, jeez. Right? Tears. Life is difficult. In some cases, these are things that people have in their past. And just to bring these things up brings about tears. In some cases, it's something they're going through right now. They're in the thick of it. They're in the midst of something right now. And there's tears. Sometimes it's a decision they're facing and people have no idea what to do. And there are tears. It's an emotional ministry. Not only that, you know what? How many of you have seen the devastating effects of sin in your life? You've seen it. Well, we got a lot of hands up there. You know what? When you're dealing with somebody and you're doing biblical counseling, you know what comes to mind? All the cases you've seen like this before and how in some cases they ended in devastation. And you're just talking to this person, please, honey, don't do this. I've seen this before. Don't do it. This is a mistake. He's not the guy for you. She's not the one for you. You're about to make a big mistake. No, don't go that road. Don't try. That's the wrong way out. Tears, right? Because life is difficult. And when you are involved in biblical counseling, you're wanting to influence this person by laying out the truths from Scripture and warning them of the things that can happen if they go against the truth. It's an emotional ministry. Oh, my husband's just been diagnosed with cancer. My little brother has just been arrested. And he did it. And I know it. And I'm not sure what to do. Right? I mean, this is life. We need biblical counseling. But it's not what you think. It's not what you picture. I'll give you a fun example, okay? Lighten it up a little bit. Brad and I went motorcycling recently with a buddy from Oklahoma, and when he showed up at my house, all he could talk about was hang gliding. Now, he just retired as a fireman, 27 years of the Tulsa, Oklahoma Fire Department, and he's got this new dream that he's going to hang glide, and we're like, Steve, you're like 50, you're like my age. You're mid-50s for sure. And like motorcycling, that has risk, but we don't fall very far. You know, like 3 feet. And we don't go that fast. If you didn't know, we actually don't go that fast. We don't go that fast. We don't fall that far. But hang gliding, you know, you fall a long ways and you smash into the rocks and you only get one chance to make a mistake. And so the biblical counseling began the moment he arrived at my house. And the minute he arrived at my house and at my house, if you're going to stay for a little while, we have you write your name on a glass mug. And Steve always draws a picture, so he drew a picture of a hang glider. I'm like, what's that? That's a hang glider. Yeah, on the way back home, I'm going to be stopping off to go take a look at one. And so the biblical counseling began there. But then he and I and Brad and a guy from Woodland Park went motorcycling together, and biblical counseling became intense there. You're going to take up hang... No, no, you don't want to take up hang gliding. No, I mean, YouTube, hang gliding crashes. Or hang gliding wrecks, and watch some videos. I have good news for you. By the end of 3 days with Brad and me and a couple other guys, Steve canceled the hang gliding appointment. And I think he's on a new venture. Right, Brad? We have hopes that he's on a new venture. There's a little bit of biblical counseling there. Like, Steve, you have 7 kids. Steve, you have grandchildren. Steve, you've never hang-glided before in your life. Steve, you've got a wonderful wife. So we're trying to get him to realize that his life is too valuable to take up hang-gliding at 54 or whatever it is he is. Well, that's a fun one, right? But biblical counseling is a ministry. It's an influence ministry. You're trying to influence thinking, and then you're trying to influence decisions. It's an important ministry. It's something you invest in other people's lives. You get personally involved, right? You might occupy yourself for years with this. It's a sacrificial ministry. It does require time, effort, and energy. You've got to read people's emails. You've got to take their calls. You need to go by their house. You need to have them over at your house. It's an emotional ministry. Sometimes they don't do what you say. And now you've got new emotions involved, right? It's like, oh, man, we gave counsel. They neglected it. Oh, now what do we do? All right, I've given you four answers to the question, what kind of ministry is this? And I gave them to you from one text. I'm going to give you a fifth answer. It's from a different text, the next one, which we'll get into next week. But I want you to have this one before we depart, okay? Our next text for next week, a little foreshadowing, and I encourage you all to come back. I know there's visitors here in town for the baptism, but wouldn't it be great to have a full house next Sunday too? The text we're going to look at next week and continue our trek is Romans 15:14, and what we're going to learn, it is a one another ministry. Just listen to Romans 15:14. Paul says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to nutheteo one another, able to counsel, admonish, warn, instruct. You also are able to lay out biblical truths and warn people against disobeying them. You're able to do that for one another." That's Romans 15:14. And we're going to learn next week that this is a one another ministry. This is one of the ways that we fulfill the Great Commission. And it's one of the ways that we show love one to another. Let me end with this. Jesus Christ, when he said, "I will build my church," never intended that he would build something that you come to once a week for 1 hour and you have nothing else to do with it. You cannot read the book of Acts and think that church for a Christian was once a week for 1 hour. And other than that, you have no involvement in anyone else's life. Not at all the picture you get from Jesus, the apostles, the New Testament. No, actually, as Pastor Rick said early on, the picture you get from the Bible, the biblical picture of church is, it is an assembly of people who have been called out from following their own sins and the wisdom of this wicked world. They've been called out to follow Jesus Christ. They gather together as a church family, and they get involved in each other's lives. And that gets messy. I need counsel too. And so does Pastor Dan, and so does Miss Randy. And so does Pastor Rick and Miss Brenda, and so does Pastor Drew and Miss Lupe. We need you to be involved in our lives too. And this, what I'm teaching you is to get involved in this because it's an influence ministry. It's your opportunity to have a positive, constructive, godly, Christ-like influence on other people. It's an important ministry. It's something so important that Paul didn't cease to do it for 3 years, night and day, with tears. Right? It's a, help me out with a third one. You took notes. It's a sacrificial ministry. It's something that's going to cost you something, but that's okay. That's the example of Jesus Christ. It's an emotional ministry. Bring the Kleenex at times. You might get angry. It's not, crying isn't the only emotion. You might get a little perturbed. You might get a little upset, but that's okay. We have those emotions. And it is a one another ministry. It is a ministry for every Christian to be involved in. Having said that, let me give you a bit of counsel. All right? Let me give you a bit of counsel. Two pieces. One, if you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, forget everything I just said, and my counsel to you is to put your faith in Christ. There is no one else who can save you from your sins. There is no one else who will ever give you eternal life. There's no one else who will give you of his own Holy Spirit to help you through all the trials of life. If you are not following Jesus Christ, if you haven't been following Christ, my counsel to you, follow Christ. If you say, I'm not sure how to do that, just say, "Lord, help me follow Jesus. Help my unbelief. Forgive me of my sins." That's my counsel to you. On the other hand, if you've already put your faith in Jesus Christ, my counsel to you is, continue to learn about biblical counseling and understand what it is. Get in your mind a biblical view of this ministry that God wants you to be involved in. All right? and come to the baptism today that's going to be held down at the river. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for laying out before us your words of truth, teaching us what they mean, helping us to follow them. I pray for everyone who's here in this house. Thank you so much for a great group of people today. We pray for the baptism that's going to take place. We pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ would sound forth, that there might be unbelievers to hear us, and that the faith of believers would be strengthened. We pray for those who are being baptized, that you would help them in their walk with Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.